Tonight, I'm going to introduce our first speaker, and I'm going to do it official, so I have my notes here. Some of you know Jody, so she doesn't need introduction, but for those that don't know Jody, Jody Seidler is a graduate of Elam Bible Institute and received her bachelor's in Christian ministry from Chesapeake Bible College and Seminary. She served with Campus Target for the past 9 years with her time split between living in Asia and living in America. The vision of Campus Target is to see multiplying churches started on every college campus in Asia. She was recently transitioned to Global Ministries team at Elam Fellowship, where she is focused on launching laborers to the nations. Jody and her husband Alex met at Elam Bible Institute and got married in 2009. They've been involved in evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. Together, they have a heart to see non-believers believe, disciples disciple, and leaders lead. So, and she is homegrown. For those of you that don't know, this is a daughter of Pastor Lester and Irma. So let's welcome Jody tonight.
Thank you. I always love coming to Petra. This is literally like my second home. I grew up here. I believe when I was born, Petra was still in the fire hall, right? Is that where we were meeting? And they'd use like tables to corral the children. That was the nursery back then. But I just grew up here. I would play hide and seek in the halls. I'd play with my friends. And really this place and the people here have had just a vital role in helping me develop into the woman that I am today. And so just to start off, I just want to say thank you so much for all that you have placed in my life and how you have impacted me. And really, I just want to say never underestimate the power of a church family, of being in community with people. Just never underestimate that. And so I'm just very excited to be with you tonight to speak on releasing women. I think God has just something very incredible in store for each and every one of us tonight. And I don't know if you realize this, but there's a movement going on all across the world of women coming into a deeper fullness and revelation of who they are in Christ, their giftings, their talents, their abilities, and how God wants to use them to impact this world for his kingdom. And usually when God breathes on a spiritual area or a spiritual principle, many times we see it go into all avenues of society. So if any of you have been seeing the news recently or the media, you have seen that even in the secular realm, the cause of women is being raised up. And even though sometimes without God in the equation, things can be taken to the extreme or twisted a little bit, but what I'm saying is that even the world, even in the secular environments, they're catching wind of a spiritual principle of something that God is doing and releasing in this church and in women. And so they're catching on to the principle of God releasing women more fully into their destiny, of women finding their voice, and of women finding who they're created to be so that they can have an impact in his kingdom. And so I'm just very excited to be with you tonight. And I'm going to just share, open up my life and share a little bit of my own story of how I just came on this journey of being released more fully into the plans and the purposes that God has for me. And I have discovered there's four keys. I'm going to call them keys. We're going to go with that word. There's four keys that I have felt that God has used in my life to unlock doors to step me further into my destiny and the purposes that he has for me. And my hope is that as I share these keys, that God is going to start highlighting maybe one or multiple of these keys in your own life. And he's going to say, tonight I'm pinpointing this area in your life, and I want you to focus on this so that you can take the next step in what I have for you. And so the keys that I'm sharing, even though I'm going to share them in a certain order, they don't always happen. You know how God works. They don't always happen in like 1, 2, 3, 4, all neat and pretty. Sometimes he brings the different things up multiple times in our lives. And so even though I'm going to share them in a certain order, just keep in mind, they don't always happen that way. But they did for me. And so for those of you who are note takers, who loves notes, okay, this is for you right now. I'm going to share the four keys right now in this moment, because you guys are all like, I want to know the keys right now. And so here are the keys. Encounter, partner, discover, release. And I'm going to begin to unpack those through the journey of my own story. So I'm going to say them again for note takers. So we're like, you spoke too fast. Okay, encounter, partner, discover, release. And so the first key really that I found in my life of stepping into the fullness of what God has for me, of the things that he has for me, is encounter. And what I mean by that is there comes a moment in our lives where we encounter God and he reveals to us his plans and his purposes in the earth and how he's inviting us into it. We need to have that encounter moment with him where he's very personal, where it's not just God's up here somewhere, but he's very personal and he speaks to you and he says, Kim, I think that's your name if I'm reading it right, and he says, Kim, I've chosen you and I'm inviting you into my plans and his purposes. And we need to have those encounter moments with God. And I remember when I was in third grade, my parents took my sister and I on a missions trip to Mexico and Guatemala to visit some of the missionaries that Petra had there. And so they rented a camper, and we went down the states a long way, and every state for souvenirs, my parents had my sister and I pick up rocks as a souvenir. Mom, I see what you did there. Cheap souvenirs. Free. And so they had us pick up, but we were excited. We're like, oh, rocks, like, wonderful. But I see what you did. Now that I'm older, I got you. And so we picked up these rocks. I think I still have, they're at our house, aren't they? They're at your house in a box somewhere. Yeah, she's like, get them out of my house. They're for you, Mom. I give them back to you. And so we went there, we went to Texas, and from Texas we flew into Mexico and then into Guatemala. And there's two things that there's many things I remember about the trip, but there's two things that I really remember. And the first is this. I got very, very sick. Like, everything bodily? Yes. I got so sick. And I remember they even took me to some doctors in Mexico or Guatemala to see what was happening. And after I came back, for months and months afterwards, I would go to hospitals to have some testing done, just trying to figure out what was going on. So that's the first thing I remember. Not the most pleasant memory. But then the second thing I remember is we took about a 5 to 7 hour boat ride in Guatemala to get to where this missionary family was staying. And as we were there, my dad spoke at a little village church. They took us to this church. And there was a girl there that was about my age. And even though we couldn't communicate with words, we developed a friendship and a camaraderie during that night. And I remember at the end of that service, I was in that church and I said to myself, I want to become a missionary. Third grade, I said, I want to become a missionary. You see, there was a moment that happened in my life where I had an encounter with God, where my eyes were opened to a bigger story that was playing out before me. And I realized in that moment, in my third grader, like, heart and mind and spirit, that this life wasn't all about my Polly Pockets. How many of you had Polly Pockets? Come on. This life wasn't all about my Polly Pockets or my stuffed animals or my rock collection, but that there was a greater story going on of God's plans and purposes in the earth, and that he was inviting me into it. And so in order to be launched more fully into what God has for us, in order to be released, we need to come to that moment where we have an encounter with God, where we recognize his plans and his purposes in the earth, where he reveals that to us, and we hear the invitation to come with him. And so there comes a point where in all of our lives where he comes and he interrupts our story. And it usually happens when you're just going about your daily life. Right? If you look in the scriptures, Moses, he was tending sheep, and then what happened? He saw the burning bush. With David, he was simply taking food to his brothers on the battlefield, and he saw Goliath. Esther, she was minding her own business, right? And then the government came, poor Esther, and the government came and took her out of her family, and she got launched into something different. It usually happens just when you're in your everyday life, where God comes and he encounters you and he meets you in a personal way. And so for some of you, that encounter may have happened like me when you were in third grade, or maybe when you were in high school or college, or maybe for some of you tonight, tonight is this moment where God is encountering you, or maybe you're hearing for the first time that God's plans and purposes that he started from the beginning of time are continuing on until this moment, until this day, and that he's inviting you, he's looking at you, and he says, I choose you, I've chosen you, I'm choosing you, I'm going to choose you again. You're not last in the kickball line. You know, I'm choosing you to come into my plans and my purposes. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that we have those encounter moments, that we position ourselves, that we, when we hear the voice of the Lord, when Moses saw the burning bush, it said he turned aside to see the bush. So when we have those moments in our daily life where we maybe feel or sense that God is moving, we need to turn aside and just to spend time to hear, God, what are you saying? It doesn't have to look complicated. It's not like, let me spend 10 hours in the prayer room. No, maybe you're washing dishes or you're driving to work, but to position yourself, to turn aside when you hear the voice of the Lord. And so when that happens, when we hear that, when we turn aside, when we encounter him, when we come into his plans and purposes, we hear an invitation to partner, right? We hear an invitation to step in to what God has for us. And so we come into a moment where we encounter him, and then we realize this life, as much as it's about me, it's not about me, right? It's not about me. It's about God and his plans and his purposes and how he's inviting me and he's drawing me into them. And so when you come to that realization, your world is changed. Your view is totally changed. And now, instead of just clocking in and out of work and like punching the clock, now you realize that God is moving. There's something bigger going on than what you can see with your physical eyes. And so the second key that I found in my life to just see myself launch more fully into what God had for me, to kind of unlock a door and step into another level, was the key of partnering. And I realized that I had a choice to make. We all have a choice to make. Are we going to choose to partner with God in his plans and purposes, or are we going to choose to kind of just turn aside and do our own thing and kind of ignore what's going on, the invitation that he's given? And really, there's different moments all throughout my life where I've heard God's invitation to partner. You know, a lot of these aren't once and done things. I encountered God one time. No, it's like many, many times, many moments. Some were at youth groups, at altar calls where I've encountered him and heard the invitation to partner. Sometimes just in my times with him or through a speaker. Just different things of hearing that invitation. And that invitation to partner with him. And the most recent one that happened was when, I think 2008, I'm going to throw that. We're going to go with that. 2008. When I was deciding whether or not I was going to go to China to serve God in Asia. And I remember I was so confused. We're going to go with confused. I was like, I don't know, God, if this is what you have for me. Is this what you're inviting me into? Should I do this? Should I not? I was helping to lead a young adult group at the time. And I just didn't know. So I talked with leaders. I talked with my friends. I talked with my parents, who were also my pastors, just saying, well, is this something you have for me? And I still wasn't sure. And so I remember one night I went into the computer room at my parents' house, and I was just praying, and I had my Bible. And I thought, hey, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to do that. Close your eyes, open the Bible and point. Come on. How many of you have done that? Let's be honest. We've all done that. And so usually, it never works out, right? I usually end up in Leviticus somewhere where it's talking about boils. How many of you have gotten the boil verse? And then I'm like, do I need to go to a doctor? Like, what are you saying, Lord? Is this some spiritual boil in my life? I don't know. We've all been there. And so, but I was like, you know, I'm desperate at this time. I'm like, I don't know. I got nothing to lose. And so I took my Bible, closed my eyes, opened it, and it came to the story of Jesus talking with the Samaritan woman. I'm like, whoa, it's working, you know. And so I started reading, and I was just so amazed that God brought me to a verse where he's talking and ministering to a woman. And then it came to a verse where it says, because of the woman's testimony, many people from that town believed. And you're like, bam, like, okay, God, I hear you. It was in that moment, it was so clear that he said, I'm inviting you to partner with me to reach Chinese college students for my kingdom. It was a clear invitation. And in that moment, I had a choice to make, right? And now you're like, oh, now I have to make a decision. Like, okay. And so it's like, would I choose to partner with him or would I choose not to? And I chose to partner with him. And I went on this great adventure for my life. You see, there we all have a choice to make. Will we enter into what God has for us, or will we turn aside and ignore it and pretend like we didn't hear it? And many times, there's different reasons why we turn aside. I don't bat 1,000 every time. A few baseball fans out there, you know, I don't get it right every time. So, but there's different reasons why we don't choose to partner. It can be out of fear. It can be out of insecurities. It can be just out of busyness. We're so busy, and God, you're asking me to do this thing. I don't have time to do this thing. Or it can be because out of laziness. Let's be honest, I've been there. I'm known for laziness. And so it can be out of laziness, or we're just don't want to be put outside of our comfort zone. There's different reasons why we don't partner. But I'm telling you, if you step into the invitation, if you partner with him, your life, even though it'll still have hardships, it'll still have struggles, you're still going to be stretched, you're going to find that you're going to be living your life to the fullest, and you're going to be released more fully into what God has for you. And so we all have a choice to make. And as we say yes to him, what he does is then he takes our giftings, he takes our talents, he takes our abilities, our strengths, the things that we have, and he weaves them into his plans and his purposes, and it becomes greater than what we could ever imagine that it could be. And so when we partner with him, we begin to see his creativity released in the world, in every area of society, in our jobs, in our families, in the church, whatever it is. When we partner with him, we begin to see an increase of his fruit and his life coming into every area of society. And so God wants to partner with us to see his plans and his purposes go forward. And he has equipped us with certain gifts and talents so that we can go and bear fruit that will last. And so another key that I discovered in my journey with God was the key of discovery. I realized that there are certain giftings inside of me, certain strengths inside of me that God has placed in me that he wants to use to see his kingdom go forward and his plans go forward. And so we need to discover who we are, how God has made us, and how he wants us to partner with him. It's all part of the journey of being released into the fullness of what God has for us. In Matthew, it says that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. Yes, that's the word. Galilee, when he saw Peter and Andrew fishing. And what did he say? He called out to them, and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In that one sentence, there's actually two calls. Do you hear the two calls in that one sentence? He says, "Follow me," which is the first call, which is what? To fall more in love with Jesus, to cultivate our relationship with him, to get to know him more and more. That's the first call. Don't get the two calls mixed up. It's always him, number one. And then the second call is he's saying, "And I will make you fishers of men." What he's saying is that I'm going to use what you know. I'm going to use what you love to reach people for my kingdom. He was walking by fishermen, so he used what? A fisherman analogy. I'm sure if he was walking by construction workers, he would have said something like, "Follow me and I will make you builders for my kingdom." Essential oils. If he was walking by an essential oil seller, "Follow me and I'll use you to spread the aroma of Christ." Come on, essential oils people, I know you're out there. And so whatever it is, he was using something that they understood. And so the second call is to discover who you are, how he made you, the strengths and abilities he has given you, and using them to help his kingdom go forward in every area of society. Listen, there are some teachings out there that talk about discovering your giftings and who you are so you can feel fulfilled. But then they stop there. They just stop. And if all you're doing is discovering your giftings so you can feel fulfilled, you're missing the second half of the equation, which is you discover your giftings and then you invest your gifts so that more people can come to know him, so that God's creativity can be released, so that more people can be raised up to do what you're doing. That's the full equation of why God's gifted us in certain things. And so it's very important to discover your giftings and release them into his kingdom. A key in the kingdom of God is that the way you receive more is you give away what you already have. It's the principle in the kingdom of God. The way that you receive more is you give away what you already have. Listen, the momentary high of being used in your giftings pales in comparison with the eternal impact of multiplying your life. There is no comparison. It just pales in comparison. It just pales. You need a, God wants to use you to impact others, to make multiplication happen. And that's why it's so important that we all find our voice so that we can bring his kingdom more fully in this earth. And so we're all created uniquely. Like it says, when God created you, what, he broke the mold. When God made you, he broke the mold. That's what it is. You have certain talents and giftings and abilities that I don't have, and I have certain ones you don't have. Maybe we share some, but I'm guarantee you the way that we express them is probably very different. And so we need to discover who, how God has made us and the different things that he's gifted us in. And many times that just happens by trying things out. At least for me in my story, that's what it is. I just tried things out. And as you grow older, you also become more confident and aware of your strengths and weaknesses and what you're good at and what you're not. And so spend time discovering your giftings. Through my time here, I did VBSs, children's ministry, youth ministry, junior high ministry, young adult ministry. I went on missions trips. My jobs, I worked at Kitchen Kettle. Come on, they have great jams and jellies. Kitchen Kettle, I worked at Provident Bookstore back in the day. Espen Shea's Greenhouse, I saw, there, oh, hey, I saw you. Espen Shea's Greenhouse. I worked as an administrative assistant at Weaver Construction Company. We ate a lot of donuts. It was fantastic. You know, I worked all these different jobs, and since I've been in ministry, I've done so many different things. And really, through doing that, I've discovered what things I'm good at, what things I'm passionate about, what things I'm not so good at, but I'll probably have to do because I'm an adult, and so I have to do those things. And I've discovered some things that I should actually never, ever do. You know, one time someone asked me to lead worship. Let's just say, not my thing. And so you should be very glad my sister was actually back on piano. That's her. That is not me. I'll tell you the story later. Wasn't that great? So you need to try things out, and it's okay to fail. You need to hear this. It is okay to fail. Sometimes we don't try things out because we're so afraid we're going to fail. But we need to release ourselves from that and say, it's okay to fail. It's okay to try things. And so also just a caveat, a side note, With all those things that we're trying, it's not like I was hopping from job to job. Some people, they just like, oh, I'm going to go and quit. That usually doesn't work out well. What I suggest, what I've done in my life, is I have usually something that I'm in, a job or something, and then I like to call them my side hustles, where in my free time, I go and I serve, or I go and try a hobby, or I try to implement the giftings or the things I'm passionate about in my job until I know, God, you're leading me to this next step. So I'm not like being flaky, if that makes sense. But I've just learned that side hustles work really well. And it's a really great way to try out your giftings and what God has given you. And so, so start serving. Take a spiritual gifts test. I think a lot of you took that before you came. Get a mentor. Get feedback in your life. These are all ways that we begin to discover how God has gifted us. And then a final key that I have had to unlock over and over and over again in my life is the key of release. The key of release. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I had to release myself. Many times, we are the ones who hold ourselves back. We hold ourselves to crazy expectations I talked to some of my mom friends out there, and they're telling me about their day and all these things they're accomplishing. And then they say, yeah, but I just feel like I haven't had enough time with Jesus. And I haven't had this. And they're just saying, I feel like a failure in this area. And I'm just looking at them. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, no human being can do all that you have just done. And you just have these crazy expectations on yourselves of what you should be like, what you should do. And we need to begin to release ourselves from those expectations. Sometimes we count ourselves out and disqualify ourselves. It may be because of our past or circumstances that we face, or maybe something that we've struggled with, areas that we've messed up in. And so we count ourselves out and we say, God could never use me because of X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. We begin to tell these things to ourselves and we disqualify ourselves. Listen, when you allow your history to cancel your destiny, you're sabotaging yourself. You really are. You might be looking at your past circumstances and say, and words that were spoken over you are very real hurts. I'm not disqualifying any hurts or pains that you have experienced. You may have been looking at them, and instead of working through them, because we do need to work through them, we just don't ignore them and pretend like they never happened. You need to work through them, but instead of working through them, we hold on to them, right? And then we begin to use them as excuses of why you're not stepping into this or that, or why you can't do that. And or maybe it's because we want the person who hurt us to be punished somehow, or to blame others, or making them want to pay. But you know what? Instead of punishing them, all you're doing is sabotaging yourself and the destiny and what God has for you. God wants to see you released into the fullness of what he has for you. And that happens by us releasing ourselves. I remember when I was here and I was leading a young adult group, I was the main leader for a young adult group here at Petra. I went through an intense season of anxiety and depression. It was like really intense. And I remember thinking to myself, I am not qualified to lead this young adult group. I should not be leading this. I am not the perfect leader for this group. And I remember thinking, if the leaders knew what I was going through, they would also say that I am not qualified. And so I remember I came to my mom and dad, who are also the pastors, and I told them, and I said, I'm dealing with a lot of anxiety and depression and legalism. Those were like the three big ADL, whatever. Well, it's a quote now, ADL. So I was dealing with that, and I said, and I think that I should step down from leading the young adult group. And God used my parents to save me from a lifetime of lies. Because he used them, and I'm not going to cry, and he said, they looked at me and they said, Jody, every person has struggles. And your struggles do not disqualify you from the call of God on your life. And instead of kicking me out, they helped me get counseling. And they helped me get healing. And in the midst of my strength and in the midst of my weaknesses, I was able to still minister. And I knew that God was using me. You see, as much as God uses us in our strengths, he also uses us in our weaknesses. And there's going to be times, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a family situation, or maybe it's a ministry, where you are going to be working in your weaknesses, or you're going to be working in the midst of your struggles, of your intense pain or grief. And instead of tapping out in that moment, what you need to do is you need to lean into God and his strength and lean into community. That's why I said never underestimate the power of church, the power of community, and really bring those things to light so you can get healing and wholeness. You need to start to release yourself to be used by God. So in order to be launched more fully into what God has for you, maybe tonight God is coming to you And he's unlocking that door number one, prize one, that key of encounter. And he's coming to you tonight, maybe for the first time, and he's looking at you and he's saying, I choose you. I need you to hear tonight that I choose you, that I've chosen you, and I'm inviting you into my plans and my purposes. Or maybe number two, it's door number two that he's unlocking of partnering. And you've heard that invitation and you're kind of on the line. You're like, I don't know if I can do this, or I don't know if I should do it. And he's inviting you to partner with him. And he's saying, I want to highlight partnership with you tonight. Or maybe it's number three of discover. And God's saying, I want you to begin to unlock the things that I've given you. And I want you to begin to give away the giftings that I have for you. And I want you to begin to serve here or incorporate this into your workplace or into your family. Maybe you're in the discovery phase that God is pinpointing for you. Or maybe it's number four of release. And God's going to come to you, and he's coming to you tonight. And he says, you need to release yourself. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive them. You need to stop holding yourself back, and you need to step in to what I have for you. Whatever you're at tonight, whether it's you're at encounter, you're at partner, you're at discover or release, know that God wants you to enter into a new phase tonight. And I am so excited for this next speaker to come up, because she is going to share with us how we can begin to walk in that freedom. And I believe tonight, I really do, that we are going to receive breakthrough in areas of our lives that are holding us back. And so I'm going to invite you to come on up, Cindy. And Cindy Scott, she has actually been really instrumental in my life. She was the Dean of Women when I was at EBINC. And her and her husband have just impacted Alex in my life in many different ways. And she, when Alex and I, we've had decisions to make in our lives, we've gone to her and her husband for counsel. They actually spoke at our ordination. They're like, choose one couple to speak. And we're like, we know who it is. We got this. And so we invited her to come and speak. She is the founder and executive director of Bridges Coaching. And I actually did coaching with her. It was phenomenal. I recommend it to everyone. Oh, I should have described what it is. Bridges Coaching, she's a coach training organization that develops leaders through life coach certification, Destiny by Design courses, which would be great for discovering your giftings, and various other workshops. She is also the executive director of groups at Worship Center. And Cindy believes life is a journey full of God-given adventures if we choose to accept them. Her and her husband, Eric, director of CARA Worship Center, live in Lancaster, you live here, where they enjoy bike riding, I know that about you, and coffee shops. They have four grown children and six grandkids so far.
What a banquet we're receiving tonight. Like, I just want to stop and let's go straight to ministry time. Which of those, I love application, that's like my heart, and I want to ask coaching questions right now. Which of those four words is the key you need to press into? That's where I want to go right now. I was excited to get the invitation to come here because of the email that Sharon sent, said, we want you to tell your story, and the theme is finding your voice. I have a story about finding my voice, and it included all of those things that Jody just shared about. Like she said, I run a coach training organization, and I also work full-time at Worship Center, so that's a lot on my plate, but God never gives us more than what we're able to handle, and I love what I do. The coach training I have released now to, I lead the group class, but other people I've hired to facilitate. Who would have ever thought I could start a business and even employ myself? Like, that was not in my hopes and dreams for my life. And part of the business is coach training, which means I have to recruit people to train. So after you've trained all the people who like love you and are willing to invest in you, like Jody, you run out of, like, who else you're going to ask, you know? And God just grew it And while he was growing it, he grew me. Because every semester that came around, I said, well, that was a good run. I probably won't get anybody. So I'll have to do something else. And God would bring somebody new. And so I just want to echo what Jody said about failure. In coach training, we say failure is good research. So I tried something. Or I can sit in the city like those lepers and never see what's out there. Never know what might happen. Now, it doesn't mean everything you try is going to work, but at least you tried it so you can move on to the next thing. So Bridges Coaching was formed actually when I was Dean of Women. That's when it started. We had a representative from Southwestern Christian University come to Elam, and he was talking about this thing, coaching. And I said, I don't get it. Because coaching to me, first thing that comes to my mind is some kind of football coach or some kind of sports coach who says, okay, guys, we're going to do this. And it's a very telling kind of a thing. If you run my system, we will go to the championship. But the kind of coaching that I teach about and that I believe is biblical is a different kind of coaching. The coach word comes from like the coach like Cinderella got in and went to the, you know, she got coached because she went from here to there. So when I learned about coaching being helping someone get from here to there, I became very interested. I'm deaning all these women. They're saying, what do I do? How do I move forward? And I say, oh, do this and do that. And they come back and they say, it's not working. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. So that became really difficult for me. With coach training, that is the weight is not on me anymore. The weight is on them to have a relationship with God. That was God's idea. There is no mediator between God and man except Jesus. So now I ask questions. Where does God want you to go? What do you think is a step you could try to move forward? Like Jody said, to discover. What's holding you back? The release thing that she talked about. So when I learned that that's what coaching was all about, I said, oh, I need that. And I'm working at Elam. And Elam is an organization that you work for because of the mission that you love. It's not an organization that you work for so you can like build up any kind of bank account. We got four kids in high school at that time, heading toward college, and we got no like, we could just tap our savings like that. No, that's not gonna. I was telling people at that time, if we had to retire right now, we could do it for a solid month. And so I'm thinking like, I'm very interested in what you're saying, but I don't think we can do that. This is kind of like a missions organization, and I love working here, but I don't really have any money. And he said this question, what would it look like for you to move forward one step at a time as God provides? So I didn't like that question because it required an answer that I had to do something about. So I went home and told my husband this, and so this guy's offering a master's degree. And I'm like, I'm not afraid of the work, and I'm not afraid of the time I'll fit that in, because I want to help people grow. So I said, Eric, what do you think? Could we do this one step at a time as God provides? I just can't even imagine God providing, but he's big like that, right? And so I got money. People heard what I was doing. And people like write a check. I just felt like God wanted me to give you $1,000. Like I'm not one of the. That's my only story that ever happened to me. I'm not one of those people that gets that kind of thing. My parents. I'm like in my 40s, and my parents are like, you know, we didn't really help you with your schooling, and we can do that now. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. So God provided one step at a time, and when I finished my coach training, I realized the value of coaching for helping others understand who they are, connect with God, get unstuck. That's what coaching does. It moves forward. It helps people get unstuck. I wanted to help others do this. So I considered my options. What can I do? I don't know an organization where I could just jump in and be a trainer. I'm married, so I'm not going to like move away or anything. And so I felt like God asked me to design my own curriculum and start my own organization. And I love designing curriculum, so that part was like easy. I think in skeleton outlines, like bullet points. That's how my brain works. And so I wanted to put that all together. But I didn't know if I could like do anything with it once I got it. And so here's where my story starts. I went to an organization that I wanted to work with locally, and I said, guess what? Here's what coaching is, and it's so awesome. And I think, man, if pastors could get a hold of this, they would be activated to move forward themselves. They could activate their people. People would get unstuck. Everybody'd want to be a Christian because we'd all be so cool moving forward in our unstuckness. And maybe I said it a little bit nicer than that. And the guy said, wow, that is really interesting. I like what you're saying, and I could see where that could go. I need you to talk to this guy. So I'm like, okay. I got the go-ahead. So I went to guy two. Now I'm got my spiel down a little better and tell guy two, hey, guy one sent me to you. And here's how I think coaching could help this organization grow, and it's probably going to start a revival. And the guy two says, I like it. Here's what you need to do. Talk to guy three. Now my big hot air balloon got a giant hole, and it just went flat. I went to guy three. I shared my hurrah with him, and he said, wow, I can see that. You should go talk to guy one. So I went home with some wounds. I went home thinking, I feel like you wanted me to do this. I feel like you designed me to build curriculum. I built this curriculum, and I got three doors slammed in my face. Here's the lies I believed. I don't belong. I can't catch a break because I'm not a male. I'm all alone and on my own. If I want anything to happen, I'm going to have to do it myself. Not a great foundation to build anything Christian on. It was a sad season for me. I felt like I wanted to go forward, but the pathway was blocked. Maybe some of you feel that way today. Like, I want to go forward, but I keep hitting the wall, keep hitting the door. So my transformation process happened as I looked back into coaching. I said, okay, if I believe in forward movement and I've hit a wall, what do I need to do? I'm going to be working with people that are going to have the same kind of stuff. So in Bridges Coaching, we have this thing called the Always Circle. I'm tempted to see if Jody can recite the three parts. But it starts with this. On the one part of the circle, it says there's always going to be stuff. Like if you think that now that you're a believer, there should be no stuff, that's called heaven, and it's awesome. I want to go there. God promised us we'd never be alone. He didn't promise there wouldn't be stuff. And actually, the stuff is what helps us to grow. It's not fun to say that, or it's easier to say it than to like live it. But when we have risk or we have choices or opportunities, that's where faith meets real life. To say we have faith when we don't really need him for anything, what kind of faith is that? But when there's risk, then God meets us there. So there's always going to be stuff. We go around the circle. God always offers a plan. Always. He always offers a plan. The plan might be to choose hope. The plan might be to be faithful, like Job. But there's always a plan. There's always an anchor of peace that passes understanding available to us in the midst of whatever stuff we have. Always going to be stuff. God always offers a plan. And the third part of the circle says, we always make choices. So I had a choice right then to believe the lies or to ask God to help me get free. When we believe a lie, we put on some kind of colored lenses. And it feels like a fact. It feels like that's pretty hazy and blue over there. No, it really is. I can see it. It's hazy and blue. Can't you see? It's hazy and blue. But it's hazy and blue because I chose a skewed view. This is what the world sees. And when I take off, it's like Claritin clear, right? You like peel it back. And there's the truth that God has for me. So facts don't dictate our destiny. Our faith perspective dictates our destiny. We can change that. We can change our faith perspective by believing the truth instead of choosing the fact and believing a lie. So I want to talk to you about the freedom prayer process. I think some of you picked that up on the way in. And I want to talk to you about it in the using my story. So in Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So here I am believing that God wanted me to write this coach training curriculum. But I knocked and nothing happened. And I needed to deal with that in order to move on. And that helped me to create this freedom prayer process. God has appointed you for good works as well. And I hope as I go through this process, you'll be able to see maybe some place where you've stopped trying to move forward in an area because a door was closed, or you limited yourself because you can't release yourself, like Jody talked about. In this evening's theme with finding your voice, I wrote down four ways we lose our voice. One is blaming. We blame others for limiting our impact. That's what happened to me there. Two, we doubt God's purpose in our life. Three, we wait for someone else to do something. Unless God's asked you to wait, there's plenty of times. We probably all walked through some of that. And then four, we excuse ourselves as unworthy, incapable, whatever. But the truth is, Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Jeremiah's word was, I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God has appointed you for whatever he put in your heart, whatever the encounter says, whatever your giftings showed. He designed you to be you. I am a strategic, organized thinker in a woman's body because that's what God wanted. And I never really wanted to be a man, but I oftentimes wanted, could I just like be someone who just loves life and plants flowers and enjoys people and laughs a lot? And I'm not. I go into a strategic planning session, I see the holes, I call them out, and I'm very comfortable with that now. But when I was younger, nobody really wanted to hear what I had to say, probably because I was saying it from a, why won't anyone listen to me? Like, who wants to listen to that kind of? So I grew and learned. And today I feel like I need to say this out loud. It's a little hard for me to say, but I feel like I'm supposed to be here. Isaiah 61:1 says this, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to prisoners." The freedom part really struck. I think some of us are prisoners and we don't even know. We're prisoners to things we believe ourselves. I don't love speaking. I love coach training. I love organizing things. I love writing curriculum. If I could just write curriculum in a like little library cubicle for like ever, that'd be awesome. Like application questions. Wouldn't that be so fun? But I put myself in a prison when I say, I don't do that. I won't do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not good at that. And instead, I just invited God to partner with me tonight and say, okay, not really my gig, but I just have a story to share about finding my voice. So here I am sharing that story. Thank you for this opportunity. So let's look at the freedom prayer. Yeah, pass it out. If you don't have one, raise your hand. We'll pass them out. While they're being passed out, I want you to think of an area in your life that feels blocked, where you aren't able to move forward, where there's likely a lie that's skewing your view, where you feel like, I feel like I should think differently about this area. I feel like I should be able to see something more clearly or move forward in a different way. So the first step in the process is to choose a triggering moment you want to focus on. So for me, I knew I needed to focus on those three conversations with those three guys. I don't really want to throw them under the bus because maybe the organization wasn't ready for something. Maybe they weren't ready for a female leader. That doesn't mean I don't have a place. It just means they're not ready. Like, how sad for them. Because God wants me to move forward, I'm going to move forward somewhere else. So choose the triggering moment. I don't necessarily want you to do that right now. It might be a good thing for us to do later in our ministry time. Facts and feelings. Identify the facts and feelings you were dealing with. I was feeling alone. I was feeling misunderstood. I was frustrated with God because... what the what? I did what you wanted, and now I can't get through the door. So it's a good place to write down the facts and feelings. I tried, it didn't work. I felt like this. The lie, write out the lie in sentence form. When I'm actually doing this with someone, and I say, maybe the lie was something like, you don't fit in. They're like, no, it was I don't belong. I'm like, okay, there's your lie. So try a lie. Maybe it's this. And work with the grammar until you feel like, yeah, that is it. That is the ugly that I've been looking through to see life. I don't want to see life like that. Own it. Take it to Jesus and repent for believing that lie. It's easy at this point to blame someone else. Well, I wouldn't have to believe that if they hadn't done that to me. But you know what? I chose it. Some other person probably could have walked in there and say, well, I tried that, check, you know, and moved right along. But I chose to make it personal. I chose to like water the seed that was in there so it became a weed that was overtaking my heart. So I got to say to Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that snarky, ugly woman that says, well, if I were a man, like, ew. Who wants to hire that person? Who wants to minister with that person? Who wants to live with that person, right? Forgive. I then had to forgive people who contributed to my accepting that lie. Whether they meant it or not, really, whether they knew what they were doing or not, didn't really matter. Because Jesus paid for that already. So when we forgive someone, it's not because we don't care. No, it doesn't matter. That's fine. It's not because what they did wasn't wrong. It's because Jesus paid. That's so freeing, right? So I can say, that was really hurtful, but I release it to God. I hope good for them. I hope they get right with God. I hope they hire a woman or another coach. Like, I just hope good for them because of Jesus. So the next part is to renounce. I had to look at myself and say, what have I received? What have I become comfortable with because of that event? I got to be honest, there were some ugly things that were in there. Self-pity. Snarky is the word that comes to my mind. I just became snarky. And I didn't want to live like that. So I said, I break my tie with that attitude. I break my tie with that ugly because I don't want a part of it. Now comes the truth part. Request a truth to be revealed. This is the beautiful part. If I'm one-on-one with someone and we're doing this, they're like, okay, tell me what to write down. And I say, oh no. This is the beautiful part where the Holy Spirit wants to infuse you with the truth. And Tony Stolzfus, one of my coaching mentors, he always says, if you're not sure whether it's God, ask, is it biblical? Is it good? Is it life-giving? Why wouldn't it be God? It's probably God. I just love the freedom in that because it allows me to hear from God in a new way. So here's the truths I came up with for the lies that, here's what God did to me, for me. My first lie was, I don't belong. So I asked God, what's the truth? I was afraid. I was afraid to say, you belong at that organization, so you're just going to have to wait it out. I was afraid he was going to say, nothing. I was afraid. So I said, okay, I got to do this. I want to do this. I believe you're real. Speak to me. And so I said, okay. Where do I belong? And I felt the most beautiful words in my heart. He said, Cindy, you belong with me. You've always belonged with me. You belong with me now. You will always belong with me. Does that sound like God? Yeah, it was so awesome. Like, I just want to stop and talk about that for a long time. The next lie I dealt with was, I can't catch a break because I'm not male. And God revealed to me that he chose my gender and my giftings and knit me together. I am who he designed me to be. I don't need to apologize for my gender. I need to live out who I've always been meant to be. The last one is, I'm all alone and on my own. If I want anything to happen, I'm going to have to do it myself. And I was expecting, that one's kind of hard, right? Like, because I did have to do some things myself. But the best lies are like good poison. They're like 98% food, and the 2% will kill you. And so to root those lies out, we got to say, what about that isn't right? And so God revealed to me the truth. The only person who can keep me from my destiny is me. Ooh, that's a great truth. So the next line there says ways to refocus. how can I refocus my new vision? It isn't like a flip. Oh, now I just love me, and I'm just going to walk in my destiny. Like, I spent a lot of time investing in viewing life through like this. I had a lot of patterns in my head that were helping me walk that way. And so I start to walk this way, and it's like, no, I walk. It, to build that new brainwave takes a lot of time. So some things I did, I put on my screensaver a verse. I refreshed new thoughts on my screen. So every time I pick up my phone, I'm reminded of the new truth. I put a sticky note on my fridge and on my mirror. I picked verses that aligned with those truths and memorized them and said them to myself. I picked songs that were on repeat because I needed to kill those lies and remove them from my life. So there's lots of ways to refocus, but it's important that we do. The next one says share, tell somebody, talk about it. If you talk about it, it becomes more real for you, and it might offer hope and life to them. And a plan to revisit. It's so easy to slip back into those mindsets because they're more normal. That they've been invested in for many months, years. So to become transformed requires a renewing of our mind. So I actually put in my calendar, go read your lies and truths journal. See if you slipped. And it's a cool experience. When I have a lies and truths journal, lies on this side, truths on this side, I usually number them. And if I read the lie and the truth and I'm like, hey, look at you. Look at you believe in truth. That feels really good. And sometimes I read the lie and I say, it snuck right back in there. I don't want to be that. So it's kind of like a cleansing or something. Like I go in there and clean my mind out again so I can focus on the me he wants me to be. So I hope when we move into ministry time, if any of this has struck you, that might be a good time to walk through it. The keys that Jody gave, I'm so proud of her. I remember when she was single and little. You know, she's all like, look at her all grown up, saving China. So I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Lester now, and thank you so much for letting me be here.
Well, I have the special privilege of praying a declaration over you, and this is special to me as I was writing this and just saying, Lord, what can I say? What I'm trying to put my heart into this. It just became very special. I began to really look forward to doing this. And I'm really praying and believing that as I declare these things, that they become more than just words to you, but they become life to you. I've been praying that as I declare these things, that they're released as impartations, that they take root in us. So I think I'm ready to do that. I covered myself with essential oil before I came up here, so I wanted to fit in somehow here. So. Oh, yes. Okay. Would you stand together? And if you would, it is up to you. Just open your hands as a posture of just receiving, not from me, but what I believe the words the Lord has given me of something he wants to do, and just affirm in you in a fresh way this evening. I declare over you that you are women of great worth and value. You are daughters of the King. You are the apple of his eye. You are the bride prepared and worthy of the groom that eagerly anticipates your arrival. His shed blood has made you pure and holy and spotless in his eyes. He smiles and sings over you with great joy. He has uniquely gifted you and called you into his service in the realm of the home, the realm of the church, and the realm of business. May you find your contentment and fulfillment in him in ever deeper ways. May your voice speak for those who have no voice, and may it reflect the compassion of the King, the hope of the King, and the authority of the King. As a woman of God, you have been called into the line of very special individuals mentioned in Scripture, such as Mary, Martha, Deborah, Huldah, Junia, Chloe, Phoebe, Priscilla, Dorcas, Lydia, and Anna. You have entered the ranks of those who were last at the cross, first at the tomb, first to proclaim the resurrection, and first to witness to the Jews. You are called to use your gifts to walk in integrity, faith, and honor, having the excellence of his power revealed through you, that his life may work in others. You have been called to nurture and build your household well, and to have a good and faithful testimony. You have been called with a holy calling according to his own purpose. Women of God, I bless you, and I release you from past traditions and mindsets that made you of lesser value and limited your gifts, abilities, callings, and service. I declare you free from lies and judgments. I release you from past failures, shame, rejection, and self-imposed limits and narrow dreams. I declare fresh vision, fresh dreams, and renewed partnerships with husbands and with leaders, both in the church and in the business world. I declare new opportunities for the use of your gifts and open doors as you walk humbly before your God. Lift up your heads and walk as women of grace and women of value and women of calling, because his favor rests on you. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to say, too, I think I failed to say this, there were some excerpts in here from an Elam blessing that Jody had given me. And so there's copies of this out on the table if you want to just reflect on that some more. So where do we go from here? There we go.
So tonight we heard quite a few things about releasing us. And so tonight, if there's any, there might be some of you that when I was looking at when Jody was talking about these keys, that you might be somewhere in this process of these keys unlocking, needing to be unlocked. And so we have a team of people over here, twos and threes, women just like you, who found their voice and are utilizing their gifts tonight for healing and words of wisdom and words of encouragement. So if there's anyone that you're feeling like, I just need a little help in partnering with God or encountering God or discovering or even releasing tonight, I want to just encourage you to just kind of step over. We're going to play the music nice and soft here for you. We're going to turn the lights down just a little bit, if that's okay, too, in here. Let's just wait a minute. Let's just wait on Holy Spirit for a minute. I have a sense that there are some people here that really struggle with fear. You feel like you have duct tape over your mouth. And I see the sense that it's almost like you're afraid that it's going to hurt too much to rip it off. And I just want to encourage you that that let's rip it off tonight. If there's any here that fear is just stirring up in you, I can't, if you keep saying that, just I want to encourage you just to rip that off and go ahead over and people can pray for you for freedom from fear. I feel like there's some here that you have had dreams that are inside of you, and they're stirring. Even tonight, you're like, oh, I remember that dream. And so tonight's the night for a release of those dreams, that you're free to dream again, and not to be afraid to risk and release those dreams again to the Lord and partner with Him. Discover what God has given you. The gift survey that we had for you to do, to partner with Him in those gifts, discover them, and then be released. So dream again. So I'm encouraging and I'm prophesying over you, tonight's the night to start dreaming again. Even tonight, you're going to hear, some of you are going to hear the word of the Lord in your dreams tonight. Write them down. Get the book ready right next to your bed to write down those dreams too.